So for the last several weeks, we've been going through a series of sermons on what every Christian should be. And hopefully you have discovered by now that we're not just talking about things that we should do, but things that the Bible says we should be. And every one of our scriptures is prefaced with the word be. Last week, we took a look at the one called Be Holy, as the Lord your God is holy, which is a difficult concept to grasp because we're very familiar with the passages of Scripture that says, holy is the Lord your God. In fact, that's what the angels are going to be proclaiming about God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who is and is to come. And so holiness is difficult for us because we have this human nature that tends to not be holy. Today's word or phrase is equally as difficult, I think. It's be transformed. This comes from a passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So if you have your Bibles, turn to that, Romans 12, 1 and 2, and we'll just be taking a look at that passage a little bit. But do you know what transformed means? We use the term a lot when we're talking about a radical change. In fact, I was just scrolling through MSN news feed, and they were talking about an actress who had transformed her body. Now, basically, what they meant was she was preparing for a role in a movie, and in order to do that, she needed to have her body look very fit. And so the big headline was, you know, such and such an actress transforms her body. And I thought, no, she didn't. She just got into the gym. She just did some exercise. But we generally think of that. I mean, if there's an old abandoned house in town and somebody buys that house, puts some money into it and some labor into it, and cleans up the yard and those kinds of things, we say, wow, what a transformation. No, it's not. You have rebuilt the house, maybe. You have reconstructed the house. You have remodeled the house. But it's still a house. Or there are times when we know of somebody who, you know, is struggling. Or maybe they're like the TV show, 600 pounds or whatever, and they go on a diet and they get into the gymnasium and they get they eat healthy and they lose 400 pounds, and we think, what a transformation. Or maybe we think of the town drunk, you know, who all of a sudden decides that he's going to clean up his act, and he does, and people go, wow, what an amazing transformation. Maybe you even think of the musical, My Fair Lady. Maybe you've seen that musical, maybe you've watched the movie version of it, but Harry Higgins is a man who makes a bet with Colonel Pickering that he can take a Cockney-speaking flower peddler and turn her into a lady. And throughout the whole musical and throughout the whole movie, he spends all kinds of time with Eliza Doolittle, making sure that she can pronounce words correctly. The rain in Spain falls mainly on the plain. And he presents her at a ball, and everybody is oohing and aahing and dazzled by the fact that she truly is a lady. The problem is, Eliza Doolittle doesn't fit in that world, and now she doesn't fit in her old world. She has kind of an identity crisis, and the end of the musical is sort of ambiguous because, well, who is she now? What is her identity? Yes, some things on the outside have changed, but she was not transformed. You see, the real issue for us today is what Paul is talking about in our text in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, when Paul is telling the believers in Rome, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Paul starts off by telling us, well, he basically tells us two things. The first one is surrounding the word conform. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. And the word conform literally means exactly what you think it means. You have one thing and you conform something else to it. Something else follows a pattern. You just become like that pattern. And Paul is talking about the world. Our lives as Christians should not mimic the world. And then he uses a different word. Rather than mimicking the things of this world, he says, I want you to be transformed. And that Greek word is metamorphosis. Metamorphosis is a change of form that begins on the inside. It can also translated as transfigure. The word is used only four times in the New Testament. Twice in Matthew and Mark, it is used to describe the transfiguration where Jesus and Peter, James, and John are there and Elijah comes, Moses comes. There's this transfiguration that happens. It's used here in Romans chapter 12, too, and it's used in 2 Corinthians 3:18 where it's talking about a change. But each one of these is talking about real transfiguration. Not just cleaning up the externals. He's not talking about just changing what you look like. In modern terminology, we could say you're not putting lipstick on a pig. Okay? Being transformed goes deeper than what people see or what we have the power to control. Before real change can happen, there has to be a rebirth. And that's one of the reasons why Jesus told Nicodemus that you must be born again. When Nicodemus was talking to Jesus. Now, the context of Jesus' words are pretty interesting because when it comes to being transformed, even Jesus' externals are not the end-all, be-all. In fact, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, he says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And I want you to notice that he specifically talks about the will. Do my will. Because Paul refers to that in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. You see, just because you look like a Christian and you talk like a Christian and maybe you act like a Christian does not mean that you're a Christian. You see, there are a lot of people that think that going to church makes them a Christian. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. And this is one of the reasons why the Apostle Paul, when he's talking about this issue, being transformed is not only talking about our externals or our behaviors. He's talking about something from within, talking about more than just lifestyle changes. He was preaching to the Philippians and in Philippians, the Philippian Christians and in Philippi. And he says in chapter 3 through 6, if anyone else thinks that he has reasons to put hope or confidence in the flesh, I have more. Now, I want you to understand, Paul is talking to believers who he's really trying to help understand that just because you do all of the good things does not necessarily mean that you have a transformed heart. He says, I have more. I was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church for legalist righteousness, faultless. In other words, Paul is saying, you can't hold a candle to what I've done. All of the good things that you think you're doing, I've done more. But that didn't make him a believer. That didn't transform him. Transformation was something that even the Apostle Paul realized could not be done by just getting into the law and doing the legalistic things and you know, hanging on to the things of God that he spoke of to Moses. No, you needed to be transformed. He needed to be transformed by an intervention from God. And when we read of the first century believers and what they were like after Jesus came and taught and preached and led led them to himself. He died on the cross and he was resurrected and he ascended into heaven. In the first century in the book of Acts, we read that they did a lot of things. All who believed were together and they had things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And a lot of people would say, that's a little bit extreme. I mean, I don't mind being a Christian, but I don't want it to inconvenience me. I am not about to sell all I have. I'm not about to sell my possessions and give to those who are in need. Why? Because they're my possessions. And if being a Christian means that I have to make some radical, drastic changes, then maybe it's just not for me. You know, there are people that we think of or that we know of who were martyred for their faith, and we once again say, well, you know, aren't you going to win more converts if you're alive? Well, tell that to Jesus. There are lots of people who were persecuted and are still being persecuted for their faith. They are mocked. They're being arrested for their faith. You know, once again, we say, look, I'm okay being a Christian. I just don't want to have to actually be transformed. I'm okay being comfortable. I don't want anybody to hate me. I don't want to make any waves. I don't want to rock the boat. But I want to be a Christian. But for some reason, when Christ came into the lives of the first century believers, they were willing to do anything. Now, how did that happen? Well, once again, Paul says it comes from do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. You got to start there. And I want you to understand, when Paul is talking about the pattern of this world, he's not just talking about the secular world. He doesn't make any distinction. He doesn't want you to be even conformed to the Christian world or the religious world, whatever word you want to stick in there. Because there are lots of people in our religious world that try to tell us exactly what we're supposed to do. Instead of going to the Bible and instead of looking at what God's word says, we look at to what a person tells us or what a church doctrine tells us, and that's what we conform to, rather than conforming to the will of God. You see, Satan is really good at using anything to keep us from being transformed. Even good things, even church things. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. And so when I use the word transformed or the Greek metamorphosis, this is what I want you to think about. I want you to think about a butterfly. Because this truly is a metamorphosis. You start off as a worm and you end up as a flying object. That is a transformation. Two completely different forms. Has ever been able to duplicate this process, because I duplicate transformation. You know, something that crawls on the ground and eats nothing but leaves and gorges itself and then forms a cocoon or a chrysalis and then emerges as an adult butterfly? Remarkable. You see, the expectation in Scripture for believers is not that we just adopt a different pattern or a different habit or a different way of doing things. Paul says we need to start by renewing our mind. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So it has to start with a different way of thinking. In other words, our mind, as capable as we are with our mind, is not the kind of mind that God wants. He is looking for a transformed mind, a renewed mind, a mind that is, if you will, overtaken by the Holy Spirit, a mind that thinks the thoughts of God, a mind that is constantly trying to understand the Word of God. And it takes a lot of work, but it also takes a lot of submission. It's not just behaviors. And it doesn't stop with just the mind, because we are also supposed to give him our heart. And this again is a Psalm of David. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Again, David knew that just because he cleansed his outside, changed his behaviors and his attitudes, that wasn't going to be enough. Transformation is something that happens in the heart. And we can't do it within ourselves. We don't have the power or the energy. In fact, a little bit later in Romans chapter 2, Paul is talking to these same Christians, and he says, a person is not a Jew who is one only outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a person is a Jew who inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a person's prayer, not from other people, but from God. And so the Apostle Paul knew that we can't earn God's favor. We can just simply yield and submit to God's transforming power. Once again, you are not a Christian by the stuff that you do. You are a Christian when your heart and your mind are Christ-like. Now, the question is always, how do I do that? How do I do that? We want to be in control of that process. I mean, if the Bible says be transformed, we want to make sure that we're doing the things that we need to do in order to be transformed, except being is different from doing. And I know that that's hard, because we as Americans and as just human beings, we're into production. I want to be able to manufacture this. So if transformation is something that I need, then give me the recipe. Tell me what to do so I can be transformed. And you can't do it. You can submit and let the Holy Spirit do it in you. You see, when God says that he wants to take our heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh, this is a remarkable act of grace. It's not because of the stuff that we do, it's because of the grace of God. Paul, also in Romans chapter 6, verse 14, he just tells us, for sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. And really, that's what this boils down to. Transformation is not, it's not something that we can manufacture, it's something that can be given to us because of God's grace. The Apostle Peter also understood this reality. He spoke about it in kind of some graphic terms. I'll be honest, I've preached a lot of sermons. I don't know that I've ever preached a sermon using this verse. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, the dog turns to his vomit again, and the sow that was washed to the wallowing in the mire. Think about that. Why in the world would a dog return to its vomit, or a sow that has been cleansed return to its mud hole? Because it's still a pig. Because it's still a dog, a sick dog. There hasn't been any transformation. Just because you clean up the pig on the outside does not mean that you have transformed that pig. It will return to its wallow. And that's what the Apostle Peter is saying. Jesus even talked about this in Matthew chapter 12 when he gave his story about the man who was cleansed of an evil spirit. And in Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 through 45, he talks about the fact that this man, the evil spirit, was removed, but the man, he, even though his heart is cleansed, he doesn't do anything with it. He doesn't allow he doesn't invite the Holy Spirit in. In fact, he's got an empty heart. It's clean, but it's empty. And so the evil spirit returns, finds the heart empty, and says, hey, it's time for a party. Now, that's my translation. And he invites seven other spirits who are more evil than he is to come now and take up residence in this man's life. The evil spirit was removed. The heart was not filled with goodness. The man does nothing. He doesn't even invite the Holy Spirit to take over. Instead, the evil spirit returns. And Jesus says, something worse has happened. You see, when we answer the invitation to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are called to more than just doing the external things. We're called to more than just being baptized, more than just attending church, reading the Bible, going to educational opportunities, Bible studies, etc. We're called to more than just adopting a church's statement of faith or supporting the congregation financially. We are to admit that we are powerless over ourselves. We cannot be transformed. We need God to put something in our heart that wasn't there before. Jeremiah tells us in his writing, I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. That word fear in the Hebrew means awe and reverence. When God puts a holy awe and reverence for him in your heart, the behaviors will follow. When God allows us and reminds us that he is a holy God, that he is love and joy and peace and patience, when he reminds us that our heart can become a heart of flesh, and he will put that authority in our hearts, the behaviors will follow. You see, that's the whole ending of the passage of scripture that Paul says, when transformation happens, then you will be able to test and approve God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I know so many people that say, I just want to know what God's will is for my life. What does God want me to do? Well, if you really want to know what God wants, don't conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed. In other words, let the Holy Spirit put the fear and the awe of God in your heart. Then you will be able to know what pleases God. Then you will be able to know his perfect will. Is it going to happen overnight? Nope. Is it a journey? Yes. But it's a blessed journey. It's a journey that God wants us to be involved with because of his grace. And it's a journey where we can support one another and encourage one another as all of us are seeking to be transformed. I think maybe that's why God said, Lord your God, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the greatest commandment.